This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. Oh, man, busy day on the news yesterday. Don't worry, I'm not going to use up all my time like I did yesterday before even getting to the subject of the podcast. But just watching the two stories that I'm really following right now are these campus protests and the campus protests and the now I just drew a blank. the campus protests and the states resisting Title IX. The number of states that have filed lawsuits against the federal government regarding the Title IX issues is now up to 15. That is excellent news. That is a good thing. And it bodes well for women's sports that this might actually get taken down. So we can hope for that. It's an administrative decision. It's not a law that was debated in Congress and voted upon by Congress. You know, it's really dark in here. I'm going to see if I can't turn up my lights. There we go. A little bit brighter on the screen. I don't know how that got adjusted, but it got adjusted. So we adjust it back. And now, once again, here we are. Yeah, it's nice that I have all my... Again, not a sponsor. We don't have sponsors. But I use Loom Cube lighting. I've got two light panels up here, and then I've got a ring light by the camera from Loom Cube Lighting. And they have been serving me very well. I used to have, when I started doing this, I had the big umbrella lights in here. And this is a small office. And having those big umbrella lights in here was not conducive to using my office the rest of the day. And it was a pain in the butt to take them down and put them up and all of that stuff. So when I found these LED light panels, I went with those, and I can change the color of them. They've got a warm light and a cool light. They've got different light settings and all of that. And it's just so nice to be able to, all on a little remote like that I can adjust those light panels. So again, not a sponsor, but you wanted to know, right? You know you did. You wanted to know. All right, this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, Rumble, and YouTube. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.org. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. Now, little bit of a note. I've talked about some inside baseball regarding the Christian podcast community that because of the way they host the podcasts on the community, not all of the podcasts in the community are hosting with the community. And because of the way things work, those podcasts that are not hosting with the community will be disappearing at the end of May from the community feed. And I've been talking to them about shifting my podcast from hosting on Podbean to hosting with the Christian podcast community, and we are going to do that. However, my current subscription with Podbean is paid through the middle of August. So I'm not going to change over until that is getting ready to expire. So for June and July, Squirrel Chatter will not be on the Christian podcast community feed. And so subscribe directly. You can find us on, you know, like I said, anywhere you find podcasts. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on, you know, all your major podcast places. And I even found that I'm on places I didn't know I was, because there are apparently podcast services that they just grab feeds wherever they find them. So I found Squirrel Chatter on some very obscure podcast hosts. So subscribe directly. You can just, you know, search for Squirrel Chatter on your favorite podcast app. And when I change hosting, that subscription will move with me. That there'll be a redirect and everything. So the RSS feed and stuff won't change. So you'll be able to keep getting the podcast just as you do now. But go ahead and subscribe directly to Squirrel Chatter if you're one of the ones who downloads the audio. I know most of my audience is video. You're watching on Twitter, most of you, Twitter or Facebook or Rumble or now YouTube. We're back on YouTube. And that's where most of the audience is. But if you would, you know, click like and subscribe, do all that stuff. You know how it works. I would appreciate it. And just wanted to get you a heads up. If you are an audio listener that downloads from the Christian Podcast Community feed, you will want to subscribe directly. Otherwise, you're going to miss June and July. So I wanted to throw that out there. But in the long term, come August, Squirrel Chatter will be moving over to the Christian Podcast Community to host directly with them. And so we'll be back on the community feed and all that good stuff. So it's just, as you can imagine, trying to do a community feed with several different host servers was proving to be more and more difficult. And so it was very labor intensive, and labor is costly, and the Christian Podcast Community is a nonprofit, you know, Striving for Eternities is a nonprofit ministry. And so pumping out a lot of labor funds is not a good use of the resources that God has given the ministry. So we, you know, Christian Podcast Community is a ministry of Striving for Eternity Ministries. So, you know, that's all that you understand as I tie my tongue. All right. Did I go? Yeah, I went through that. All right. What do we got coming up? We have scripture readings from the Legacy Standard Bible, prayers from the Book of Common Prayer, a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, and our study Bible level Bible study of Deuteronomy chapter 34. We're going to go through the last chapter, and that will end our study of Deuteronomy. I'd have to go back and look and see when we began. It's been a while, but we were in no hurry. So, programming note once again, I'm going to be gone the next 2 weeks, beginning next Monday. And when I get back, we will start Isaiah. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. I got books. I've been reading books on Isaiah, getting ready for that. I'm excited about that study. And again, what we're doing in our study Bible level Bible study, we are looking at the Old Testament books that are quoted the most in the New Testament. So we're going to do Isaiah. We're going to do Jeremiah. We're going to do Hosea. We've got plenty to look at. And we're in no hurry to finish up. So, and once we finish with like the top five Old Testament books that are quoted in the New Testament, we'll figure out something else to do. We'll keep studying the Bible because it's that's the main thing, is to open the Word of God. So, all right. Let us begin, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Let us confess our sins unto Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins, and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Exodus 36 and Psalm 86. So Exodus 36. Now Bezalel and Oholiab and every person wise at heart to whom Yahweh has given wisdom and discernment to know how to do all the works of the service of constructing the sanctuary shall do in accordance with all that Yahweh has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every person wise at heart to whom Yahweh had given wisdom, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work to do it. And they received from Moses the entire contribution which the sons of Israel had brought to do the work of the service of the sanctuary. And they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And all the wise men who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work that he was doing, and they said to Moses, "The people are bringing much more than enough for the service of the work which Yahweh commanded us to do." So Moses commanded, and a proclamation was passed throughout the camp, saying, "Let no man or woman any longer do the work of the contributions of the sanctuary." Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more. Indeed, the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to do it. And all those wise at heart among those who were doing the work made the tabernacle with tin curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet material, with cherubim, the work of a skillful designer. Bezalel made them. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains had the same measurements. He joined 5 curtains to one another, and the other 5 curtains he joined to one another. He made loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set. He did likewise on the edge of the curtain that was in the outermost in the second set. He made 50 loops in the one curtain, and he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that was in the second set. The loops were opposite each other. He made 50 clasps of gold and joined the curtains to one another with the clasps so that the tabernacle was one unit. Then he made curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. He made 11 curtains in all. The length of each was 30 cubits and 4 cubits the width of each curtain. The 11 curtains had the same measurements. He joined 5 curtains by themselves and the other 6 curtains by themselves. Moreover, he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that was outermost in the first set, and he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that was outermost in the second set. He made 50 clasps of bronze to join the tent together so that it would be a unit. He made a covering for the tent of ram's skin dyed red and a covering of porpoise skins above. Then he made the boards for the tabernacle of acacia wood, standing upright. 10 cubits was the length of each board, and 1.5 cubits the width of each board. There were tenons for each board, fitted to one another. Thus he did for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, and he made the 40 bases of silver under the 20 boards, 2 bases under one board for its 2 tenons, and 2 bases under another board for its 2 tenons. Then, for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, he made 20 boards, and there 40 bases of silver, 2 bases under one board and 2 bases under another board. For the rear of the tabernacle to the west, he made 6 boards, and he made 2 boards for the corners of the tabernacle at the rear. And they were separated beneath, but they were together at their completion at the top, at the first ring. Thus he did with both of them for the 2 corners. And there were 8 boards with their bases of silver, 16 bases, 2 bases under every board. Then he made bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards of one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the rear side to the west. And he made the middle bar to pass through in the center of the boards from end to end. He also overlaid the boards with gold and made their rings of gold as holders for the bars and overlaid the bars with gold. Moreover, he made the veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. He made it with cherubim, the work of a skillful designer. And he made 4 pillars of acacia for it and overlaid them with gold, with their hooks of gold, and he cast 4 bases of silver for them. And he made a screen for the doorway of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of a weaver. And he made its 5 pillars with their hooks, and he overlaid their tops and their bands with gold, but their 5 bases were of bronze. Now Psalm 86. The 86th Psalm, a prayer of David. Incline your ear, O Yahweh, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Keep my soul, for I am a holy one. O you, my God, save your slave who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I call all day long. Make glad the soul of your slave, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and by nature forgiving, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Yahweh, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my distress I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Yahweh. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from Sheol below. O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of ruthless men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Turn to me and be gracious to me. O grant your strength to your slave and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O Yahweh, have helped me and comforted me, says the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, Volume 1. Today's devotion is Jesus Urges Compassion. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. Matthew 9:13a. Dr. MacArthur writes, Jesus never shied away from speaking directly and bluntly if the situation demanded such talk. Here he pins the Jewish leaders to the wall by quoting from their own most honored scriptural authorities. Their own prophets rebuke them for their spiritual ignorance and their lack of obedience to God's clear commands. Jesus paraphrases Hosea's prophetic and divinely inspired words, "I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Hosea 6:6. The perfect word of God should have been the Pharisees' supreme concern, as it should be ours, rather than the flawed words and ideas of humanity. Without true and godly compassion, all the Pharisees' rituals, ceremonies, and sacrifices were worth nothing to God. The person who is indifferent toward other people verifies that he or she is also indifferent toward God, no matter how correct their theology or impeccable their morality. Ritual separated from righteousness and a concern for the downtrodden and lost has always been an affront to God. Through the prophet Amos, the Lord declared, "Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Amos 5:23 and 24. Ask yourself, in what ways have you let duty and religious reputation become elevated in importance beyond genuine love and compassion? Genuine love and compassion for others. What is so empty about the former and so rejuvenating about the latter? Always a good word from Dr. MacArthur. All right. Study Bible level Bible study. We didn't get to it yesterday. Because I got on a riff and used up all my time. We are looking at the final chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. This concluding chapter was obviously written by somebody else because it talks about Moses' death. And Moses wasn't doing any writing after he died. I know, hard to believe, but true. So this concluding chapter, written by somebody else, probably Joshua, we don't know for sure. Joshua or, you know, we don't know. I mean, Moses is, what, 120 years old at this point? I think, yeah. So he may have had other assistants to help him walk and whatnot, although it says that he was still very physically hale. So perhaps that, but, you know, Joshua may not have been his only assistant. Joshua was, of course, the leader chosen by God to lead Israel after Moses' passing. But here we have somebody writing about the death of Moses. So let's jump into the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And Yahweh showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, and the Negev, and the plains in the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then Yahweh said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your seed. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of Yahweh, died there in the land of Moab, according to the command of Yahweh. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows his burial place to this day. Now Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. So Mount Pisgah, or Pisgah is actually a mountain range, and Mount Nebo is the highest point on that range, overlooking the Jordan River into the Promised Land. I said recently I had a friend in Jordan, Pastor Pastor Jeff of Lolo Community Church, who was my mom's pastor when she passed away. Jeff and I did her funeral together. He did the memorial service in the chapel, and then I did the graveside. I couldn't have done the whole thing, but Jeff is a dear, dear friend, and a great pastor at Lolo Community Church, a couple hours from here, well, a little over an hour from here, and he was just in Jordan. And he was up on top of Mount Nebo and posting pictures, looking across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And it's just a wonderful view to see what Moses saw from that mountain. So Yahweh showed Moses from the top of the mountain the panorama of the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Promised Land, the land of Canaan. And so, you know, we've looked at all of that. Of course, we read through here's just the MacArthur Study Bible has a list of where the promises of the land are found in Genesis. This is the Abrahamic covenant that is repeated to Isaac and Jacob. Genesis 12:7, Genesis 13:15, Genesis 15:18-21, Genesis 26:4, Genesis 28:13-14. So you have this this great repeated, greatly repeated promise of the land. And you know what? It was a real promise of real land. I get very frustrated with people who says, oh, this is, you know, something other than an actual promise to an actual people of an actual land. And indeed, the Abrahamic covenant is one of the key things that lead me to my premillennialism, because those promises will be fulfilled. And that's one of the purposes of the millennial kingdom, is to fulfill these actual promises given to an actual people of an actual land. So he takes him up to the top. I'm not going to talk about all that he saw from up there, but he saw the land of the Promised Land, or at least the southern portion of it. All that he could see from Mount Nebo, but he was seeing that from Mount Nebo. He was not going to be allowed to cross over. We've talked about that. He had misrepresented God, and therefore he was not allowed to enter the Promised Land. As I have been saying about the protesters at the universities, actions have consequences, and sometimes the consequences are unpleasant, and sometimes the consequences are absolute. And in this case, the consequences of Moses' action of misrepresenting God to the people, Moses represented God as being angry when God was not angry. Moses was angry, and he misrepresented God. And the consequences of that action was that Moses would not be allowed to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. And so that's what we're seeing here. He says, you know, I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of Yahweh, died there in the land of Moab, according to the command of Yahweh. And he buried him there. The context is that God buried Moses. No man knew where Moses was buried. Now, Jude 9 does record a dispute between the archangel Michael and the devil over Moses' body. But that, you know, no man was there. So it could be that God used Michael himself to bury Moses. But it says here that God buried him in the valley in the land of Moab. Now, like I said, quite often, you know, the actions of a sovereign carried out by a subordinate are credited to the sovereign. Just as an example, you know, we could look at, you know, we say Putin invaded Ukraine, right? You know, I don't know if Putin has ever set foot in Ukraine, but he ordered it and he sent the people to do it. Therefore, we can say Putin invaded Ukraine. In the same way, God may have directly or indirectly buried Moses, but it was by God's ordination and command that it took place. Therefore, we say God buried Moses. Jude 9 hints at the fact that it might have actually been Michael who buried Moses. Michael, we know from Daniel, is the angel who is in charge of protecting Israel. And so that would have been an appropriate thing for Michael, you know, to do. Whole interesting thing there in Daniel about the spiritual powers, both good and bad, that stand behind peoples and nations. There is an unseen realm, and there's all sorts of things going on, and there's way too much speculation as to what it might be like. But it is an interesting thing to think about. I've read some good books. I've read some bad books. Usually the bad books are the more speculative books, especially when they're speculative and dogmatic. This is my idea about how things are, so this is the way they are. Those get pretty wild. But it is an interesting subject. And pretty much all of them have to draw from extra-biblical sources, particularly the Book of Enoch. And that's a strange book. it's a fun read, but it's not inspired scripture. Although some of the books about the end times would want you to think that. Or some of the books about angels and whatnot would want you to think that Enoch is indeed scripture. There used to be here in Montana, south over just in the adjacent to the Yellowstone National Park. So it'd be just north and west of the park. There was, so south of Bozeman, Montana, near the Wyoming border. There was I don't know if they're still there or not, but there was a big cult group back in the 80s and 90s until their leader developed Alzheimer's, which just kind of, you know, took the wind out of their sails. It was called the Church Universal and Triumphant. Crazy cult. And it was led by a woman who styled herself as Elizabeth Clare Prophet. I don't remember what her actual birth name was, but Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and one of her, you know, weird teachings, that every cult has weird teachings. One of hers was that the Book of Enoch was actual scripture, and yet it had been suppressed in some, you know, Dan Brown Da Vinci Code type conspiracy by the church, because the church didn't want the people to know the truth, and you know, that whole mode of thinking. But yeah, she was one of the people that promoted Enoch as being actual scripture. But then there are also some solid guys who have thought that Enoch ought to be scripture, because it is quoted twice in the New Testament. Jude quotes it, and Peter quotes it. So, you know, that's, you know, are they quoting from non-scripture? Well, we know that Paul quoted from pagan poets, so they may be quoting from non-scripture. But, you know, so lots of things. Interesting thing to think about. You can, I think the Book of Enoch is online. You can read it for free. And it's not a very long book. Very interesting things about angels and demons and things. So I don't put a lot of weight into it, but it is an interesting read. But anyway, God buried Moses in the valley in the land of Moab. So he's not buried on the mountain. He's buried in the valley, and no man knows his burial place to this day. So God buried Moses, and he did it in secret so that no one knows where. And then verse 7 says that he was 120 years old. His eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So Moses was physically hale. He was a healthy man at 120 years old. And therefore, his death was not as a result of an accident. His death was not at the result of a sickness. Moses' death was as a result of God saying, this is when you're supposed to die. Said he died there, verse 5, in the land of Moab, according to the command of Yahweh. Time's up. Flip the switch. Moses died. So we have no lingering illness. He doesn't die in an accident or in battle. He dies because God says it's time, and Moses died. So it's not, you know, he was physically healthy. Yeah, you know, at 120 years old, which, you know, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I think about, you know, aging, and I've I think everybody knows I'm a admirer of John MacArthur, and it really has been in just the last few years that all of a sudden John MacArthur got old. He had been the same, you know, almost unchanging for a couple of decades before the last few years. And then all of a sudden he got old. Now, he hadn't been a young man, but he had been stalwart. And now all of a sudden he's an old man. I was watching a video yesterday. I think I shared it on Twitter. The Legacy Standard Bible, MacArthur Study Bible, is coming out in November. And you can get the regular editions from Thomas Nelson. Thomas Nelson is the publisher. But Steadfast Bible is putting out some special deluxe editions, like edge-lined goatskin version. And so those are coming out in November. And John MacArthur did a promotional video ad for Steadfast Bibles and the special editions. And he's an old man. And, you know, and it's been very rapid. You know, so you think about Moses was 120 years old, and his eye was not dim, and his vigor abated. So his vigor was unabated. He was active and healthy and vigorous at 120 years old. Now, that could just be, you know, I mean, he had a health program, right? Walk around in the desert every day and eat manna. You know, so he had a diet and exercise thing going for him. But you wonder. And I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that we are further from Adam than Moses was. Moses was 3,500 years ago, or 3,400 years ago. And you know, we are 3,000 years further away from Adam than Moses was. And when you understand creation, you know, that the earth is 6,000 to 10,000 years old, tops, then you understand that, you know, Adam and Eve were genetically perfect, directly created by God. But then the fall came. And so each successive generation since Adam and Eve has been a little bit less perfect. To the point where, you know, you can see people living 600, 700, 800, 900 years before the flood, and even 400 or 500 years after the flood. But rapidly after the flood, the lifespan of humanity began to diminish. Nowadays, you know, with modern medicine, we're able to prop somebody up into their 80s and 90s, but they're not vigorous, right? There's a limit to our physical vigor. And so we see that, you know, a lot of this had to do with God sustaining Moses, but also it had to do with the fact that Moses was more physically perfect than you or I because he was closer, you know, 3,000, 3.5 millennia closer to Adam and Eve than we are. And that's something that, we don't think of very often. And then they had a 30-day mourning period for Moses. They did the same thing in Numbers 20 when Aaron died, 30 days of mourning. This was a standard mourning period in that culture. Then picking up in verse 9, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as Yahweh had commanded Moses." So remember, God had said, Joshua will be your heir. "And there has not yet arisen a prophet like Israel in Israel like Moses, whom Yahweh knew face to face." Moses was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. We think about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and these just great promises, Hosea, Zechariah, you know, wonderful promises or wonderful prophets that have served God. But Moses was chief. You know, he was the first. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. You know, now he wasn't the first prophet. He was the first prophet in Israel. Because remember, you go back to Abraham was a prophet. But Abraham, while being the headwaters of the nation of Israel, wasn't Israel. It's not until Jacob's name is changed to Israel. So it's the descendants of Jacob. You have descendants from Abraham that are not Israel. You have descendants of Isaac who are not Israel. You have Edom and Edomites and all that were descended from Esau. It's Jacob and his sons who, you know, Jacob is named Israel. His sons become the heads of the tribes of Israel. And so Moses was the prophet in Israel. And he was the greatest prophet. Not until John the Baptist, according to Jesus in Matthew 11:11, not until John the Baptist was there a prophet greater than Moses. And John the Baptist was greater than Moses, not in stature, but in content, because John was the final prophet before the Messiah. He was the herald. He was the forerunner who made the way for the Lord. And so his message was of more import, more urgency than that of Moses. But the prophet that Moses said that God will raise up a prophet like me, that prophet is Jesus, the final prophet, priest, and king. You can see that in, you know, Hebrews chapter 1. And it's interesting, Moses dies here, but then he appears on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus alongside Elijah. Moses and Elijah appear to Jesus and minister to him. So that's an important time. That's in Matthew 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9. So there's not yet arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom Yahweh knew face to face in regard to all the signs and wonders which Yahweh sent him to do in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants, and all his land, and in regard to all the mighty power, and in regard to all the great terror which Moses did in the sight of all Israel. God did great things through Moses. He used Moses to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt. He used Moses as the instrument of his wrath against Egypt. We didn't talk about it in going through Deuteronomy, except briefly at the beginning, that all of the plagues upon Egypt were aimed like lasers at Egyptian false gods. Every one of them. There wasn't a random, oh, that's kind of like that god. No. God basically chopped the knees out from under every fake god of Egypt in the plagues that were brought upon Egypt. So, and then Moses led the people to Mount Sinai. Moses received the Ten Commandments and the instructions for the tabernacle. Moses led them in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses spoke to God face to face. And, you know, amazing, amazing man that God used to do amazing things. And so when we reach the record of his death in Deuteronomy chapter 34, we just have to pause and think about what God did through Moses. And so Moses, you know, and in the Pharisaical religion, you know, Moses and Abraham were, that was the peak that the Pharisees claimed to look to. You know, obviously they failed immensely because they cluttered everything up with their own traditions. But yeah, it's Moses was very important. So, all right, that is Deuteronomy. We have finished our walkthrough through Deuteronomy. When I get back from California, we will start in on Isaiah, and I'm looking forward to that in a few weeks. All right, let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for the fifth Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son Jesus Christ to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal glory, through Jesus Christ your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us by your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor run into any danger, and that guided by your Spirit we may do what is righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Wednesday. We've got Theology Thursday tomorrow. We have Federalist Friday coming up on Friday. And then I've got that two-week break. So be prepared. But have a great Wednesday. Remember, by lunchtime, you're halfway through the week. As you go through the day, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.